This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Slaps this one left field. Going back, and it's going to drop. Theis on his horse. He's going to try to score. They are waving him in. And the play at the plate. Safe! Somehow Theis avoids the tag. I don't know how he did it.
Well, he gave him the old swim move, and that was after Dingler dropped the ball. But it was very effective because Dingler's got the ball. Theis is on the other side of the plate without touching it. And Nick Marley will not give you a sign until he sees the resolution. He never did get the baseball. And just like that, this game is tied at 1-1.
And now we welcome to Inside the Clubhouse 1980 American League Cy Young Award winner and current White Sox TV analyst, Steve Stone, with Bruce Levine and David Haw on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse on this Saturday morning. It is David Haw and Bruce Levine till 11 o'clock talking baseball, and time to welcome in our next guest on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Good morning, Steve Stone. Thank you for joining Bruce and I today.
Hi, David. How are you? Bruce, hope you guys are having a good show, and we'll see if we can have a better show in Detroit today.
Well, let's start there because the White Sox back in action after Friday's loss. Jonathan Cannon, after a really strong first start, Steve, I think lacked command on Friday. 88 pitches, didn't get through the fourth inning. What was he missing the most, and how would you evaluate his start so far?
Well, it was a most unusual outing because normally when a pitcher is not quite as successful as he would like, what's happening is he can't really command the strike zone. And what Jonathan was doing yesterday was getting ahead of just about each and every one of these Tiger hitters. In fact, many of them, he got ahead 0-2, only to see the count then go to 3-2, and you can pretty much judge how effective you're going to be by how many 3-2 counts you have. And I think Jonathan had 5 or 6 of those, but and more times than not, when you're running the count deep after getting ahead 0-2, you're using up a whole lot of pitches, and consequently you put more pressure on your bullpen to come in and get the job done. So it was one of those days where he was able to get ahead but couldn't wipe anybody out. And I think when that happens many times, maybe he wasn't feeling quite as good with his stuff yesterday as he did the first time out. And when that happens, you try to make the perfect pitch with every pitch. And quite obviously, that doesn't lead to a great deal of success. I think Jonathan's going to take a look at all the video from that performance and realize one of the things he was doing was flying open with his front shoulder, which means when a right-hander does that to a left-hand hitter, just about everything's going to be up and away. Most of his changeups were up and away. That's where he was missing. Occasionally on the sinker, he was also missing up and away, and that's an easily fixed situation. And I'm sure that with Ethan Katz and Brian Bannister, they're going to be able to get this done by the next time out.
Steve, talk me off the ledge on the Chicago White Sox offense. It's right now it's Robert and Vaughn, and I begin to yawn. So where are we going with the Sox offense? How can it get better?
Well, I think the one guy you're leaving out is Brooks Baldwin, Bruce, and he drove in a couple runs again yesterday, making good contact, hitting in the mid-350s. So I think he's been the real pleasant surprise out of this. Matt Theis actually is hitting the ball pretty well and, you know, not doing great. But you're right. Look, if Robert and Vaughn don't get it done, then a lot more pressure will fall to Benintendi, who normally is hitting between them. But you got to have a couple of the right-handers getting the job done. Vargas is getting good at bats, but unfortunately he's not making quite as solid contact as he would like. But he is playing good defense at third. So the offense has got to pick it up. We saw last year, and you see most times with teams that really can't score a whole lot, every time they make a mistake, it's magnified. We saw it all of last year. We haven't seen it quite as much this year, and hopefully that becomes the trend rather than the reality. But we'd like to see these guys take advantage of some early situations where they can hit the ball out of the ballpark, and in lieu of that, do a little more running, a little more stealing. And I think Will has done a nice job of trying to promote the small ball game. But in order for that to be effective, two things have to happen. Number one, you actually have to get on base to be able to execute small ball. And two, what Will has to do, because he is a brand new manager, I know he had all the spring training, but what he's got to do is start to understand what his players can't do and don't ask him to do it. Right now, he's experimenting with a few of his players with a few different things. But as he gets to know these guys a whole lot better, I think we'll see an uptick in the offense. And hopefully Vaughn doesn't suffer through the kind of first half that he had last year. Second half was very good. Same thing with Benintendi. The first half was awful. Second half was very good. These guys are trying to string together two good halves, and so far not off to the greatest of starts, although Benintendi is swinging pretty well.
We talked about Jonathan Cannon on Friday, Steve. The first spin through the rotation, though, all five starters, as we talked about all week, were historically good. And maybe they weren't surprising to some people who saw them at spring training, but they seemed to be a revelation to a lot of us. Davis Martin back on the mound today against the Tigers at 12-10. When you look at that rotation, how surprised were you that they did as well as they did the first time through, and how sustainable is any of it?
Well, I think one of the reasons they were ready to go is they strung together five straight starts where the guys had exceptionally good stuff. And I don't think you see that all that often. We talked about it a little on the broadcast yesterday. One of the guys that I always went to, and at the time, he hadn't written an autobiography. I was just reading biographies and reading a lot of what he had to say with Sandy Koufax. And he said that he had his best stuff 25% of the time, leaving one of the greatest pitchers that we've ever seen with less than his best three-quarters of the time. And that's what separates the men from the boys. The professionals who can win with less than their best, knowing that more times than not, that's how you're going to have to go out there. Well, I think what happened first time through is just about each and every one of these guys had really good stuff. And they also had pretty good days to pitch because most of the days were a little chilly. And I don't think hitters really like to hit when it's real cold, especially if you get pitchers who can run the ball in on their hands. So there was a nice run as far as the starting rotation was concerned, but we'll see what happens and if they can carry it through. It wasn't all that surprising to me, excuse me, because I saw these guys in spring training. I saw them at times last year throwing very well. And, you know, I really like Davis Martin. I like his stuff. I think he's going to be one of the better pitchers as far as his staff is concerned. And I think Jonathan Cannon has got to get that command back and the confidence in your stuff. Because if you have confidence in your stuff, you're going to go right at these hitters. And you're not going to try to make the perfect pitch. You know, you've got 17 inches to work with. And when you're trying to hit either the inside inch or the outside inch, it doesn't give you much room for error. And I think guys who are really happy with their stuff are going to go right at these hitters and try to wipe them out whenever they get an advantage and not continually run counts deep.
Getting back to Venable, he's impressed a lot of people with his demeanor, his style. He impressed me in that first series, at home series with Minnesota, by, you know, asking for a bunt. The bunt didn't work as a guy was eliminated at third. And the very next play, he calls for a double steal, and that works. Two runs eventually score and a hit. So from the aggressiveness, I really like him being on top of it, not afraid to make moves early in a game. That all happened in a second inning of a ball game. Steve, your thoughts about a team that might not have a winning record, but can take steps forward to being a better team, and how a manager stays afloat under those circumstances?
Will is just learning his craft, and he's got a very good coaching staff around him. He talks about having a few bench coaches, not just one, because they seek a lot of advice during the game, before the game. They lay out their game plan, and it seems to be pretty well organized. But when you're dealing with a new manager, it's like dealing with a young player. When a rookie comes to the major leagues, he's going to have to learn the lessons that the major leagues have to teach him as a player. Same thing with a manager. You're going to make a few mistakes. You're going to make some calls that don't work out. You're going to make some calls that work out very well. But the key then will be confidence in the job, and you get more confidence the longer you are in that role. I think Will is a good enough communicator and honest enough with both his players and certainly with us that he's going to do fine. I mean, he's been very straightforward in answering the questions that he knows the answer to, telling us when he's not sure about that or sure about whatever the case may be. I mean, he's been very forthright with the media. I think it's a good, strong locker room. I think it's a really good coaching staff. And I think Will, as he moves along, is going to get better. I think he's pretty good now. I think the players do both like and respect him, and I think he's going to be fine. But this is a learning process for everybody when they're in the infancy stages of whatever it is their career is going to be. And managing a major league team is not all that easy to do. You're dealing with 26 different personalities, and in many instances, they're not pulling in the same direction. That's one of the things when you have a young team you have going for you, is you get a lot of guys that are rooting for one another, pulling in the same direction. But, you know, it comes down to talent. You either have it or you don't, and if you don't have it, you're not going to win.
What do you think about the way he's rotating leadoff hitters and searching for some sort of combination that works in the batting order? And I understand there's certainly challenge to score runs. And a guy like Miguel Vargas, I think of, because he's batted a couple different spots. And do you need that certainty if you are in the lineup to knowing where you're going to bat on a day-in, day-out basis? Or how would you describe the approach and its effectiveness?
Well, I'll answer your question, David. Being in major league locker rooms and seeing a lot of the way coaches handle things when guys come up to them, and especially these are bullpen guys, and they'll come up to the pitching coach or the manager and they say, you know, I don't understand my role. What role do you envision for me? And if he's a veteran manager, what he'll say is, your role is very simple. When I hand you the ball, you get people out. That's your role. Don't think too much about it. Don't worry about when I'm going to put you in. When I put you in, I expect you to get the job done, and that's the role that you're going to have. And so I don't think most of these guys really care where they hit in this batting order. They would just like to know that they're going to hit in the batting order. And what Will has done in the early going is he has played enough players in enough places. And I know, granted, it's usually 7, 8, and 9 in the batting order that he moves in and out. Depending on the weather, it was interesting. I think he played a defensive alignment a couple of days at home because with the weather as cold as it was, knowing you weren't going to score a whole lot of runs because the ball wasn't going to leave the ballpark, he wanted defense at the corners. And that's normally what he'll do when he thinks it's going to be a low-scoring game. He'll put his defenders in, and it worked in a few ball games in Chicago. And so I like the fact that he's giving everybody a taste of early season action. He doesn't want anybody to rust away. And I think, look, a manager can only use the players that he's given, and it's the front office that gives the players to the manager. So what Will's job is to make sure everybody is fresh, everybody is ready to go, And different managers handle that a different way.
Steve, I want to talk about the broadcast a little bit. From spring training on, the addition of Brooke and Connor and the way CHSN has handled these broadcasts has been impressive. I wonder what your thoughts are about John and you in the second year and how that's going along and just the, you know, the way that this broadcast has gone from the beginning here.
Well, I certainly think that there's a new dimension to the broadcast, and I really think it's good. You know, we get to go occasionally to Chuck and Ozzy, and, you know, you're going to see him before the game, you're going to see him after the game, and they're wonderfully entertaining. Ozzy is very funny. Chuck has become a great personality in his own right. I think together they make a very formidable broadcast team, and they do a great job. And as far as in broadcast, I think one of the best things that that our executives from the new network did was add a couple of people to it, and I think Brooke and Connor have done a great job. You know, it's at first when you're dealing with two sideline reporters, it's not the easiest thing in the world for Chris Withers. And by the way, we are gifted with not only a great producer director combination, but the people that help put this broadcast on are top of the line in Chicago. I think everything is starting to come together. It's not easy when you're running a new network to try to look at all the angles. And I know the fans are frustrated, but these guys are working on getting everybody a chance to see this broadcast. And I think I think going down on the sidelines, being able to talk with Roger Bossert in one instant, being able to talk with the parents of any first-time player or starting pitcher during the course of the broadcast, that's outstanding. We're getting access to players in the dugout after they come out of games and certainly the next day. I mean, that's the one thing that I really like from our new broadcast is that we get a lot of access to these players. And consequently, our fans will get to see these guys immediately after they end their performance or the next day, go in depth as to what they did the day before. So between Brooke and Connor, we're getting great coverage. We're able to go down on the field. We're able to bring them stories immediately when they happen. We don't wait for the next day or the day after that. And so access is the key. I think Brooke and Connor are really good at what they do. I think it adds a new dimension. And as far as my relationship with John, it's a really good relationship, and we are friends. And, you know, I felt very bad for him last year. I understand that some of the things that happened in many respects were self-inflicted. But he had a soul-searching in the wintertime, and we talked, and we talked in the spring, and there was a lot of people that want this broadcast to be as good as it can possibly be, and I think it's a whole lot better than last year. And I think that things are going well. What we have to do, and we felt this way last year, is if the product on the field gets better, we're going to have more to work with. We want to tell positive stories. We really don't want to go and tell you, like last year, it wouldn't have helped if we came on every day and told you how bad the ball club was. Because there's no doubt when you lose 121, it's evident the ball club is not good. So that's what we inherited from last year. We think it's going to be better this year. But all things considered, this broadcast, top to bottom, is a much stronger and much better broadcast than last year.
And to that end, I don't think you want to be the story either, which is why I thought it was nice that John Schriffen, when he did maybe say something he regretted, he immediately apologized to the pitching ninja, Rob Friedman, and that went as well as you could have hoped after the fact, Steve. So I think that growth that you speak of was obvious early on. But I have to ask you this. As a pitching guru, are you pro-pitching ninja?
Yes, very much so. I think that pitching ninja is outstanding, and Rob Friedman does a great job. And you know what it really illustrates to everybody who gets a chance to see that? It shows you why hitting a baseball is the single toughest thing to do in any sport. It's because this pitcher's on the mound and he's throwing in the mid-90s, sometimes the high 90s. But what Pitching Ninja will show you is that you take a guy like Shane Bieber when he was at his best for the Guardians. You look at every pitch he throws, and this is what Rob will show you in overlays. Every pitch he throws comes out of his hand in the exact same spot. So a hitter's job is very easy. He wants to pick up the spin as quickly as he possibly can, which will tell him when his eyes are really good. It's going to tell him if it's a curveball, if it's a slider, if it's a changeup, exactly what the ball is going to do by picking up the spin right out of his hands. It's what we call a 55-foot hitter. You want to be a 55-foot hitter, which means right after his stride, you're picking up the baseball and you can see the ball the whole way. Well, what Rob shows you in Pitching Ninja is how difficult it is when a pitcher can disguise his pitches. And Bieber was a great example of that because every ball that came out of his hand came out in exactly the same spot. So a hitter couldn't pick it up right away, which is why you get some terrible swings. I get a kick out of fans, and they look at a swing. The guy swings at a pitch that bounces, you know, a foot in front of home plate. Well, how could you do that? How could you do that? Because you couldn't read it out of the pitcher's hand. Your eyes identify either a fastball or a slider. It might be a curveball, bounces in front of the plate. You start your swing, and there's nothing you can do. But I think what Rob Friedman does is illustrate to the people who might not have known how difficult it is to hit a baseball, just how difficult it is, and the deception these guys use. And he picks out, you know, I think he illustrated the Smith changeup on one pitch in his opening start, where it just dropped out of sight at 91 miles an hour. I mean, almost impossible to hit. And again, I think there's something to be learned. I think the Pitching Ninja is really good. And I think I think it was never John's intention to denigrate Pitching Ninja. He was saying for him, it's not a source. Again, he is a play-by-play guy, different than an analyst would be, looking at the various pitchers and how the ball comes out of their hand.
Steve, have a great broadcast today. Thank you for your time. Look forward to talking again soon.
David, thank you. And Bruce, have a good show, and I'll run into you guys down the road.
Steve Sohn from CHSN, the White Sox analyst, and you know him here on The Score every week as well on the variety and every show at some point in time. Bruce, when we come back, you know what time it is. It's time to play some chin music. And inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Score.
High and inside. Chin music. A little chin music. Take that hit for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, Yomp. How about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
I mean, obviously, he's a great player. That's why we traded for him. I think clearly he's the kind of player you want to, you know, kind of build a lineup around, build a team around. And, you know, I think we'll, you know, any conversations we have with him, we'll keep internal. So, like, you know, there's no point in asking all the time, I guess. Yeah, I know you will. I just think, like, you know, like I said, it's a process. I'm excited. You know, I think he'll learn what Wrigley's all about over the next few months, which I think is really important. There'll be nicer days than this that he'll enjoy. I'm excited to have him. And obviously, like I said, like, you know, anyone wants a player like that long term.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, little chin music. Jed Hoyer on Friday talking about the future of Kyle Tucker, whether or not Kyle Tucker would be somebody the Cubs signed to a long-term contract. Bruce, what was your reaction to the way Jed Hoyer talked about a topic that will be bandied about all season long?
Remember the movie High Anxiety with Mel Brooks? I think the
was it in black and white?
No, it was the silent movie. No,
okay,
no, but he did that one too.
Okay,
it's all about nervous anticipation of having this great player and making him a part of your future. Because David, what does it mean to you and your ball club and the aura of your team when you're moving forward and you do have a superstar player like Tucker under contract and being a part of the face of the team? He's really not the face of the team right now because he's here in a one-year rental. So it's kind of one of those, it's great to have him. He's going to help them win. But, you know, what can we do to make him a part of what we look like going forward? At age 28, you know, the next 4 or 5 years should be all gravy in his career, barring any injury. And, you know, that's the type of player you want to build around.
How realistic, though, is it to think that the Cubs will be able to come up with the best offer if Kyle Tucker hits the open market, or before that would happen, for them to go to him with a competitive offer to stay or to sign a contract extension? Because Bruce, I think that, yeah, he's a rental, but you want to approach this, if you're Tom Ricketts and if you're Jed Hoyer, a rent to own, or lease to buy. You want to get him for 1 year, but I also think that you could take advantage of his time in Chicago to, if you see fit, make him an offer he can't refuse, because you have that advantage as his employer right now.
I mean, there's great arguments to just say, here's $500 million, okay, over the next 12 years. You know, we want you to be the guy that helps us go to the World Series a couple times over the next 3 or 4 years. That would be easy for me to say, easy for me to spend Tom Ricketts money to tell Hoyer to go ahead and do this. It's something that's on their minds all the time. It's a reality of you have this superstar player. Mm-hmm. And again, Cub fans haven't really seen it yet. They haven't seen the base running ability. He can steal 30. He's going to play the heck out of right field once he gets adjusted to the sun and that right field wall and that east wind blowing in all the time. He's just a superior player. You need superior players to go along with all the good players that they have there. They're building other stars, hopefully, in the system. Pete Crow Armstrong could be a star. They have really good players. This is a team that should win 90 games if everything goes right. But you have to have superstar players. The Cubs have always had star players. They haven't really had a superstar player since 2021, other than the 3-month period of Bellinger. You have to do it. I mean, you have to have great players to be plugged in.
What is the realistic ceiling on what the Cubs might offer in the terms of a contract extension? And are those talks conversations that both sides are open to having during the season? Because you often hear that that's not the case, but you also have now seen, as you alluded to earlier in the program, a little bit of give. And Arizona just signed had an extension. The Blue Jays with Vlad Guerrero Jr. are talking about having conversations. Are those taboo at Wrigley Field?
This guy is a really calm guy. He's not afraid to say, hey, yeah, Casey Close, who's one of the top agents in the game, he'll talk to the Cubs about an extension. But are you and I getting ahead of ourselves because of the fact that he doesn't even know what the Chicago experience is like except for one game at Wrigley right now? So I think him and his family have to get used to, what this is, kind of just feel it out, feel if this is where he really wants to be, other than knowing that, the great Chicago Cub tradition and all that stuff. But, I think it's going to take both sides a little bit while to warm up to each other and get ready. I think the great news is that Hoyer didn't say we're not going to talk to him during the season. And Tucker came in right away and said, nothing wrong with talking about a contract anytime. I mean, I've never understood I have to concentrate on baseball. I don't want to talk about my contract. I know it's one way of athletes getting the media off their back, so they're not asked that consistently. But, the reality of the situation is, why not talk about it? This is a great player. Let's keep the conversations going. Let's see how everything goes.
It seems unlikely, only because the Cubs have never paid that much for one player, and it is one player, also because of the threat of the work stoppage that looms, and because of the reality that at the end of the season you wonder why Kyle Tucker would be inclined to lock himself up long term when he could hit the open market and be paid basically whatever he chooses or his agent is able to get him.
What's better than playing at Clark and Addison? Come on. I mean This should be looked at the same way it is at Yankee Stadium or Dodger Stadium. The Cubs, if they want to, can afford to have this contract, projecting out their yearly payouts
Bruce, over the next five or six years. I love the idea of romanticizing sports and baseball, but I don't know how you romanticize a contract negotiation.
It's not a small market.
Well, it's not a
small market team, David.
Well, then the offer should reflect that, and if the offer is with what the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Mets. Those are the three teams that you wonder about. The other teams possibly could slide into the Giants and the Blue Jays. There's going to be a competitive marketplace for Kyle Tucker because of the reasons that you articulated and everybody has seen. But I don't know if the Cubs, because of the quaint charm of Wrigley Field, is going to be able to overcome an offer that might be $100 million more.
Nobody had a problem with the Cubs not signing Bregman to $40 million a year for 3 years, okay? That was a vast overpay, right, for a good player, not a great player at this stage of his career. So I think the conventional wisdom is that the Cubs would not and should not have paid $40 million a year for 3 years of Bregman. Their offer was for 4 years, it was $115 million. I think that shows you that they were thinking, hey, this is a really good player. He could help us out, but we're not going to get into the ridiculous area of $40 million a year for him.
Well, that would seem to be a fair assessment of what happened. I also think when you're talking about ridiculous sums, Kyle Tucker is going to be entering that neighborhood relatively short period of time here, because the Cubs weren't competitive with Bregman when all things were said and done, and the allure of playing in Chicago was not enough to pull him here. And I just wonder, or worry, I suppose, if that will be the same reality we're facing with Kyle Tucker and the Cubs when teams start to get involved if it reaches free agency. That's why you want to try to strike as fast as you can, give him a little time to get acclimated, help him, you know, get used to Wrigley Field, and then pounce while you can when you have him in a spot that I think he feels like it would be worth staying here regardless of what else he could get in the open market.
I think his age being 28 going on 29 is a real big help to the reality. You want to be able to project as an organization that the guy is in his prime years for the next 4 years, okay? Forget about the last 4 or 6 years that you're going to pay him, because that's a crapshoot. I think what you're paying him for is to help you try to win a World Series over the next 4 or 5 years, and maybe multiple World Series if he's a building block to your championship teams. He's really, really good, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And having a couple more really, really good players like him to go along with the good players they have right now, that's a good way to project, you know, going to World Series and being a team that can run deep into the playoffs.
Last thing I have for this before we get maybe to a phone call or two, the worst case scenario in the Kyle Tucker situation is not him helping the Cubs to the playoffs and walking to a better offer in free agency. The worst case scenario is the Cubs not being as good as we think they can be at the deadline and them having to flip him to another team or for as many prospects as they could get, because he is a rental and other teams will seize on that reality if the Cubs are out of it by July 31st.
You know, did someone do something to your cornflakes that
no,
I'm not aware of?
I'm just saying, that's the worst case scenario. You don't want that to happen. You want to be proactive. You want to keep the relationship healthy. You want to win as many games as possible so you're not having those kinds of conversations. You know how it works, Bruce.
I know. Joe Madden would always say, I don't want to go to negative town with you.
No, I'm not. I don't want to go to negative town.
I'm not
like
in that
there.
Neighborhood right now.
I'm not either.
I know where it is. I know how to get there.
You have the keys. I know that, Bruce. But right now, the Cubs are 6-2 on U.S. soil, 6-4 overall. Kyle Tucker is making the kind of difference we expected him to make, and the Cubs have an opportunity to keep him here for the long term. And I think that's good. But you do have to explore all scenarios, all possibilities. The extremes are what we have discussed. I think Kyle Tucker is a guy the Cubs have to consider keeping regardless of the cost.
I'm with you on that. But I don't know. I don't know if Tom Ricketts is with you on regardless of the cost. I think, you know, that's, you know, is he a $500 million player for you? If Guerrero is a $500 million player in 2 days, is this guy even better all-around player? I think the answer might be yes, okay? So will he limit himself to a $500 million contract or insist on going and seeing what he's worth in the free agent market?
Cubs host the Padres this afternoon. Coverage begins right here, 12:45 pregame with Zach, Pat Hughes, and Ron Coomer on the call. First pitch, 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. And you don't want to miss Ian Happ's podcast, The Compound, now part of the Odyssey Sports family. New episodes drop each Wednesday with the latest discussion on the Cubs and everything around MLB. Download and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll wrap things up when we come back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Cubs leading 3-1, two down, top of the ninth inning. Runners at second and third, and the 3-2 pitch. Called strike three, and the Cubs win the ball game. A fastball got him looking. Jake Cronenworth, normally a very aggressive hitter, took one right over the inside corner. A fastball gets him. Ryan Pressly gets the save. Shota Imanaga gets the victory. And the Cubs win the home opener in what turned out, Ron, to be a real nail-biter.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Back to wrap things up here in Inside the Clubhouse. Thank you to Pat Hughes and The Score for that highlight. Yesterday's last out, Ryan Pressly shaky, but got the strikeout. Pat Hughes with the terrific call midseason form in his beautiful sweater.
Is that your nickname for him now?
What's that?
Shaky.
Shaky Pressly? Well, it's better than what they called him in Houston, Ryan Stressly. I hope he's better than he was yesterday, Bruce. I know he's got three saves, but not exactly filling us with confidence. But the Cubs are back at it today. Matthew Boyd against Nick Pivetta. Pregame here on The Score at 12:45. What are your expectations for Matthew Boyd?
Six good innings. I loved your prediction yesterday on Shota. It was exact, wasn't
Thank
it?
Thank you. Except close.
You were short one inning,
yes,
right?
Yes, I was.
I think, but you predicted the only one run given up. I think over six innings, you were right on the money, my friend.
I'd love it when you get up early to listen to our pick six. Or maybe that was with you. I forget. It was a long day. But yeah, Shota was good. Matthew Boyd can be just as good if he's the guy that we saw last time out and in spring training. In Tokyo, Bruce, he was really good in those exhibition games.
Let's be honest about yesterday's game. There were a couple balls because of the ballpark playing very big again that might have gone out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Might have had a little difference. Not to take anything away from Imanaga, who pitched a great game, but he was smart enough to pitch to the ballpark. He's a fly ball pitcher. If the ballpark plays a little bit smaller this year, there's going to be instances where the starting rotation guys might have some different outcomes. But nonetheless, not taking away anything from him, but we'll see how the ballpark plays today for Boyd in his first Wrigley Field start as a Cub.
White Sox back in action, 2-12-10. Davis Martin against Reese Olson up in Detroit. Sox and Tigers. Mike has been on hold for the entire show. We appreciate your patience, Mike. We have a minute to appreciate you joining us. Mike from Glencoe.
Well, guys, I just want to say, maybe on behalf of a lot of Sox fans, what a great first week of the Sox, because it moved the attention from how crummy we were in the offseason to how crummy we are on the field now. And But I do think that we're back to great baseball on the field issues. And I look to the sixth inning of that game. Was it Wednesday night with the Rule 5 kid pitching? He had five innings, and I was falling asleep watching the game. And all of a sudden, I saw them put him out for the sixth inning, and I started paying attention. I said, "Wait a minute, what are you doing?" Then he walks the first guy. Then I started getting real awake, and then he walks the second guy, and then I started screaming and throwing my slipper at the TV. That's the kind of baseball that we want. We don't want the kind of crummy stuff we had last year. So in a real perverse way, at least the focus of the Sox is on how they're playing on the field, and not in the dugout, and not in the locker room, and not on in the front office. And that, in a weird way, is something I'm grateful for.
Mike, you're couldn't be more right. Bruce, I think that's a great point to remember. The Sox record 2-5, it doesn't look a lot different from last year in terms of the standings, but on the field you do see the products. The Sox early on are passing the eye test.
Yeah, they are, but again, the offense has just got to be better somehow, okay? I mean, it's just, you hate to put all the pressure on Vaughn and Robert and Benintendi, but they're the ones that are going to have to do it. If you're expecting Baldwin to be an all-star and he's had some good moments early in the year, those things, again, they're going to have to get it done. You have to score more than one or two runs a game. I know they scored four, but it was three in a blowout game in the ninth inning yesterday. So from that perspective, hopefully better things ahead. I want to
Before we get out of here, we want to acknowledge.
I want to talk about our friend Rory Spears, who for 35 years was a media member and colleague and passed away this week. I want to send my condolences and the condolences of everybody here at The Score to Rory's family, who, just dealing with this shock. Rory worked as a producer and reporter at The Score back in the 90s, and just a terrific friend, terrific person, and outstanding reporter. We send our condolences.
Rory Spears was definitely a familiar voice, a regular, a fixture in every press box, every sport, and certainly a consummate pro. And it was a shock, Bruce, and the condolences to friends of Rory's, to his family, And rest in peace, because he was a true pro and going to be a big loss in the Chicago sports media. Bruce, thank you for setting up all our guests today, for doing the job that you do. I know you'll be back at it. You're on the Marquee Sports Network. You're going to be joining us on Mullion Hall all week. And really appreciate all that you do to keep baseball interesting for me and all the baseball fans out there.
Devil, you can follow me on X, as you can follow the Ninja Expert as well, and everyone else. And also on our website, 670thescore.com. David, a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the day off. You need it.
Okay? Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it. I do look tired. I'm going to take it easy. Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse. Grody is next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run. Everything baseball, all season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.